Welcome to the podcast. This is Dave Say Designer.
I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And it's a glorious, snowy, and gross it's December 9th,
snowy outside.
Monday. Around, what time is it?
It is December 9th, and we are doing this later in the day today. It is 3:13.
3:13?
In the afternoon.
Almost pie time.
It's almost, yeah. And it's all gross, and we had our first snow, real snow of the year, season, and it hasn't gone away. And it's here. And we like slid down the driveway trying to get here.
Yeah, that's terrible. I haven't put my snow tires on yet.
Uh-oh. You have to do that.
Yeah, we have a silent guest with us today.
Yes.
Are we allowed to say who it is?
Yeah, Sarah's here.
Hooray!
Hello, I'm here.
did you hear that faint sound in the background? That was Sarah.
That was Sarah.
Being modest.
Hello, I'm here.
So, I don't know. There's a few topics we have in our show notes today. We're just going to start off by talking about what we're up to.
Yes.
And then maybe talk a little bit about what the podcast may be about. Because this is the 40th episode. The big 4-0.
The big
4-0. A time for navel gazing and reflection.
Lordy,
and
lordy, the podcast 40.
40 episodes over. How many years has it been? This is the third or fourth
Is this
year?
Four?
I don't even
You keep remember. Talking, and I'm going to look it up really quick.
Okay. So, what can we talk about? Well, some of the new direction type things. Are you done looking it up yet?
I just got here. Hold on.
All right.
Keep going.
Okay. Well, I guess I can talk about what I've been up to. I've been chipping away at my 2014 calendar updates.
Yep.
I make a number of planning calendars. One of them is the compact calendar, which is a calendar that fits the entire year on the left side of a single sheet of paper. It's good for planning stuff. So, for example, like, okay, I've got 4 weeks coming up, and okay, so the first week I'll do this, the second week I'll do this. Oh, I forgot this was a holiday, and I got to pick up my cousin at the airport this day, so that means I can't work around. It's good for just kind of blocking out chunks of time.
Yeah.
And that one's relatively easy to update because I've been doing it every year. The second update is the 365-page digital PDF download of the Emergent Task Planner.
Yes.
It has dates in it, which I just figured out last year how to do by importing a what's called an XML file, which has all the various days of the week. It allows me to have a customized page for every day of the year. And instead of having to type it in by hand, which I would hate doing, I can actually generate this file using Excel and and then have it import through this program called InDesign's XML import functionality. And when it works great. So I just got that out, took all weekend, and just put that up for download digital. That's one of the things I'm selling for 2014.
Yeah.
And the third thing will be, the word counting calendar.
Is that for like NaNoWriMo? Or?
Yeah, that's when they first started making it. I made this calendar so you could track the number of words you were writing every day.
Yeah.
And it turns out that there are people who write on other months of the year too and they want to track what they're doing. So there have been several requests for making one for the entire year that will track words or percentages of progress made every day.
Yeah.
So that one I haven't figured out how to automate. The creation of. I might just have to make it by hand. So we'll see. Right. That'll be another thing to do. So
good.
So do you find out the number of podcasts or years?
We started on October 27th, 2009.
No way.
Yes.
2009?
Yes.
Huh. So 9, 10, 11. So this is we're finishing our fourth year?
Wow.
That's not possible.
How do you feel about
it?
That? 40 episodes?
I feel old.
Roughly 10 a year, really?
10 a year, yes. That's way to set the pacing there. It can only go up from here, except when it went down last year,
yep.
Or this year, actually. We've only done like 5 this year.
Yeah. Right? We didn't start until like the last few weeks. Yeah. We did one in January, and we were like, this is what we got for Christmas. And then the next one was like, we're coming up to Christmas. That's just great. Yeah, I was looking over the notes in the second one. Evidently, I spent some time trying to convince you that Brotherhood of the Wolf was good. And that seemed like it was just yesterday.
It does seem
because
like
it probably was.
Yeah, it's still just as bad.
No, it's not.
Probably
it's
worse.
Just as good. Oh,
I don't think it aged
God.
Well at all.
No.
No.
Awesome. No. Awesome.
Is that one of your Christmas movies?
I don't know. We have watched it quite a bit.
I think, haven't we?
So your two Christmas movies that I know about are...
I have like three copies
Love
of it.
Love Actually
and Yes. Die Hard. In fact, we're going to watch Die Hard tonight.
Really?
We put our Christmas tree up yesterday.
No, I still haven't done mine.
And yet. We were going to do it last night. We were going to watch it, but we got stuck at our respective parents doing laundry and visiting family night. And so tonight's going to be popcorn and Die Hard. Best Christmas movie ever. Best Christmas movie ever.
Really?
Yes.
Do you recite all the lines?
Pretty much. Every time I think about it, I just think about that scene where he's stuck in the little like the little metal shaft, and he's got the lighter, and he's like, "Come out to the coast, we'll have a few laughs." Because he's all angry, and then of course when the doors open and that dead guy's in the chair in his sweatshirt, and he just goes, "Now I have a machine gun, ho, ho." That's my Hans Gruber. Thank you very much. Hans
that was
Gruber.
Not bad. That was
best,
very, very,
best villain ever.
Very, very, very Snapey.
Yes. Sarah likes to call it the Hans Gruber movie.
That kind
Thumbs
of what
up
it is.
Hans Gruber.
I mean, if just as a Bruce Willis movie, it would have been okay. But Hans Gruber, he was like a new kind of villain
yes.
in that day. He was like suave, sophisticated, and he was all about the money, but he was stylishly so.
Yep.
Yep. And he carried a very interesting handgun.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
It was like, I didn't even look at that.
Yeah, it was like a Heckler & Koch P7 M13 squeeze cocker 9mm, which is like a fairly rare and not often seen pistol. It's one I've always wanted because
I love how
movie.
You bust that out. Things just went nerd level 9.
Nerd level 9.
That's awesome.
It's like I've seen them used, but I haven't had any money to buy them.
Wow.
You know, so they're likely they go for like 700 or 800 bucks now.
Mr.
Anyway.
McClane.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Speaking of Die Hard, I think one of my new Christmas traditions is to rewatch Community, the television series. And I just watched the first paintball episode in season 1.
Oh, yeah.
And that basically is a Die Hard, like, homage, if you remember it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that scene in the end in which he reenacts like that. You know, like, he
He's
has
the
paintball gun strapped behind him. And it's all good.
Community.
January 2nd, that's when season 5 begins with Dan Harmon back as showrunner after being booted off his own show in season 4 and disappointing legions of fans.
So I haven't seen season 4, so was it universally?
I'll loan it to you.
Was it panned? Was it?
I'll loan it to you and then you can pan it. It's,
okay.
It's probably on my list of seasons if... If season 3 was like the high point, season 4 would be somewhere around Brotherhood of the Wolf or Halo.
Stop!
Listen
to this
favorite,
guy. Listen to what he just said. Do you hear this?
No.
So this torture that he's putting me
what's
through.
What's going on? What else is going on?
Nothing. We had our open house this weekend, the Picker Building open holiday Christmas extravaganza.
Was it extravagant?
It was okay. The second floor, I mean, we talked briefly with the people down on the second floor, and they got, you know, mobbed, and we got very less than mobbed. And it's just, you know, people don't like climbing stairs.
This reminds me of that book, The Alchemist.
Why?
In the book, The Alchemist, there's this glass or crystal shop at the top of a hill that gets no traffic. And then one day, the protagonist takes the crystal out of the cases and then sells iced tea at the top of the hill. And so people come up to the top of the hill to drink the iced tea, and then they have these wonderful crystal things. And these are beautiful glasses. Why haven't we come here before? And then they buy it.
We tried to lure them up with candy canes this year. We had a little sign that said, please come say hi, and also we have candy canes. But people just don't want to deal with the stairs, so... So we had significant less number of people. So it's always hard. It's always hard for me because I'm not like you can go into the second floor and you can buy jewelry and clothing and belts. And
I bought a birdhouse.
And you bought a bird. Like see,
a
like,
bird feeder.
Yeah, and you can buy stuff. You can walk out with something tactile
stuff.
Really. And I haven't. I'm not really set up. I'm more of a service based thing. So
stickers.
I give up my buttons. People like to take the buttons.
Yeah.
So I might need to.
Maybe there's something you can buy to sell. Maybe you can sell tchotchkes.
Well, I mean, I like, I could try making some small prints, but you know, I just think my particular service is just not. It's not an open house kind of thing.
What if you sold leather straps embossed with the Sid Caesar logo?
People wouldn't buy leather straps embossed with the Sid Caesar
might.
Logo. I don't think
if they were cool enough. What if they held candy canes?
I mean, if I made a leather candy cane holder. I guess if I made a product if I made a product where the logo was the brand of the product.
Well, I mean, just having an embossed leather strap that did something would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I've been having a heck of a time trying to find. So I bought a, it's I don't even know how to approach talking about it. It's like this beautiful leather camera strap, and it looks, when you wear it, it's a harness. So and when you wear it, it kind of looks like you're wearing leather suspenders. And then it does this cross pattern on the back because it's two belts buckled to one another. And you put it on like a vest. And what it has these big brass rings that hang down, and you can attach your cameras to it. So you can have a camera hanging down at each side. It's kind of like the Rapid straps, but it's just leather.
Times two. It's like a harness. So when you strap it on, you look like Brendan Fraser from The Mummy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, total
stuff
like
hanging off the straps.
And it's just really beautiful. I mean, it's very simple, but it's just very beautifully made. And the little parts that hold the cameras, like they're just these big brass rings and these leather. It's just really, really attractive looking.
And from a time before ballistic nylon took everything over.
Yes, exactly. So it doesn't look like I'm going to raid the jungles of Africa.
It goes with your hat.
It does. It has a very vintage. It's a very, yes. And that was one of the things that drew me to it. I was like, this is just beautiful. Like, I would just wear this every day. So I have that. And so what I wanted to do, because it's leather, is I wanted to take one of my logos, my business logos, and I wanted to make like a leather stamp, like a leather, I think they call them leather dies, because usually they're metal.
Yep.
And it's like you have the little die part with the image on it, and then you have a big long handle that you hold, and then you whack it with a mallet, you know, just like that picture.
How much you have to whack it to make it stick?
I looked up some YouTube videos, and there was a guy that had a leather belt, and he had a little tiny, it was like a little crescent moon, and he was making a little crescent moon design all along the, and it was just like, he hit it like three times, because he's like, you don't want to go all the way through the leather. He's like, you just want to like, tap. Yeah. Just so it gets down enough that it'll stay on there. And I've just been having a hell of a time trying to find any place that, like, I was amazed that you know, like, people I know that, like, ride horses and have leather horse get-ups, they didn't know what I was talking about. Huh. And it's just been a pain. I've been emailing all the local New Hampshire people that are listed, like, on the New Hampshire Artisans site or the Made in New Hampshire, Homemade kind of thing. But I finally found one place that's out of state, and it's not so much, I'm going to have to forego the actual like metal stamp because they're just one, too expensive, and two, there's no places that do them. There's like a place in China, but it would take forever to get it. There's a place I just found that's out of state that'll do it, and I just have to prep the file and send it over. And it's pretty small. It would just be it's a little square logo I've been using the last year or so. And it would just be a little square, like a 1-inch square with the name, and I could just stamp it right on the strap. But then I could use it for other things too. You know, if I want to send letters, I can melt, I can melt wax, and then I can
all-purpose stamp.
Yeah, but it's kind of nice, and you know, maybe I don't know. I just thought it would be kind of cool to brand it. It would just have a nice little sort of touch.
Yeah,
that would look kind of cool.
It has a nice tactile quality to it.
Yeah,
you know, not just some, you know, mass commercial printed thing.
Right.
You know?
Right. And like, even like leather, like I brought it to a guy locally that does leather and laser engraving. But the strap itself is just so big and cumbersome that it wouldn't fit in his machine.
No, right. This is Albert?
Yeah. Yeah, Albert downstairs, AW and Boss.
Yeah, I checked him out during the holiday, the Picker holiday market.
Yeah.
He does a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Every year he seems to be doing more stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He diversifies.
Yeah. I've been going to talk to him about the dye sublimation and mug printing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was using Zazzle before and some other company to make these custom mugs for my website.
Yeah.
And, you know, the quality isn't so good. You know, it's always good to check out the local manufacturers and see if there's, you know, what I can do to use more local people. So I use a local printer, you know, because instead of sending it out, which might be cheaper.
So how do they do that on mugs? Do they print it on like a sticker and then apply it to the mug and heat it? Or how does...
I don't know. I think there's actually some sort of adapter kit that you put the mug right on it and it spins around.
Oh.
But I have no idea.
Whoa.
So I'll just have to find out how that works.
Huh. That is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is interesting.
That stuff is cool.
Yes. Yes. What else? What else has been...
Let's see. What else?
Have you been playing anything?
I've been playing a lot of shooters lately.
Except for Halo.
Well, that doesn't really count. I mean, that's really kind of more like a bouncy house version of a shooter.
But that's what's so fun. That's why we keep trying to get you to play with us on Wednesdays.
Yeah, I'm not about fun.
I know. I think you tried to play Halo with us once, and
I think it's you know, my snobbery about controllers. You know, having played mouse keyboard for you know, the bulk of my life, and not ever getting used to using thumb controllers.
Oh.
So yeah, maybe I'll give it another try one of these days.
I
had another, if I had an actual TV, so I didn't have to unplug the computer to plug in the Xbox. Actually, there's a switch that I can press, but then I can't use the computer at the same time, which is kind of a drag.
Well, you should be paying attention to what you're doing at the time, and that's what you're doing too.
And plus, I have a long-standing dislike for Bungie-authored shooters. They've always been really slow.
But they're just fun. I mean,
it's like the difference between playing wheelchair tennis and squash.
No.
That's what it feels like. It's so slow, and then the weapons balances are so
But you should
low.
Do it because all of your friends are doing it, and we're not doing it to be competitive. We do it because we laugh, and we laugh, and we laugh. We laugh so much, and we yell, and we laugh.
I guess so.
That's why you should play it. It's fun. Rocket Race is fun.
Rocket Race is fun.
You're just bouncing people all over the place.
But there was a big Steam sale. Steam is the big... it's this online downloading service from Valve, the creators of a very popular game called Half-Life. And I picked up Skyrim finally. So that's only like, what, 3 years old now? 2 years old? Yeah, I can't quite get into it. But I also picked up... Kenta Koga had shown me this show called Video Game High School.
Oh, Kenta Koga.
We got our mention in.
Kenta Koga.
By this filmmaker, Koga. This Kenta. Young Asian-American filmmaker in his 20s called Freddie Huang.
Oh, Kenta
I think
Koga.
We mentioned him before. And it got me interested in first-person shooters again. It's been a while since I've played any of them. I was playing this other game called Firefall from my friend Mark Kern's company is doing that. So I've been playing it diligently just to watch the evolution of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've never played Counter-Strike before, which is the big, you know, competitive.
I never got into that really.
Yeah, but it kind of got watching that Video Game High School episode kind of got me into like I wonder if this is like actually fun, because one thing that pulls me away from video games these days is the time commitment.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, like you start a video game now, it's you know like if I started Animal Crossing or like even like one of these massively multiplayer online role playing games.
Yeah.
You're talking about like 80, 90, 100, 120 hours.
Yes.
And with I found there's this kind of refreshing simplicity with Counter-Strike. For one thing, the characters you're controlling have not a lot of health. So like the game ends really quickly. You go in there and there's no overarching story. You go in there and you try to survive out the round. And it goes fast. And it's kind of nice that way.
Huh.
So I suck at it, but it's been kind of relaxing to play offline with bots just to try to pick that up. Plus, the new version of it from last year is all updated engine technology. So the character, the models look good. The environments look really good.
Yeah,
plays well. Anyway,
can people that play on the PC can they play with people on Mac?
Oh yeah,
like
it's one of the few like
cross pollination,
decently implemented games that runs on the Mac.
So is that Counter-Strike Source?
Counter-Strike Go, Global Offensive.
Counter-Strike Go.
Yeah, it was like on sale for $7, so I picked it up. And basically, it's just a bunch of maps you run around and you shoot each other.
Oh, look at that! They have it for the Xbox 360.
Oh yeah, yeah. They were originally going to make it so it was all platforms could play.
That's
on
great.
The server, but it turns out there are different update rates for the console versions. So one of either the console or the computer version would have some advantage over the other one due to the frequency of updates. So they're separate. So PC and Mac can play against each other and Linux. And I think the consoles can play against each other, but I'm not sure. I haven't picked up the console version.
Counter-Strike was launched 12 years ago.
Yeah, crazy.
People are still playing it.
Yeah. You look at videos of the old one, it looks really terrible.
Yeah.
It's like looking at a PlayStation 1.
So where could I go if I wanted to download that?
You would go to steampowered.com, I think.
Oh, Steam.
Yeah, and you would set up an account. But short and sweet. I can show it to you later on this Mac if you want to see it.
Yeah, and they're talking about Steam's talking about making like a Steam game console.
Yeah, right? What's that about?
The Steam Box.
Have you heard anything?
I haven't. Just that they were making one.
Yeah. They're making their play for making a, you know, some sort of alternative to consoles.
Yeah.
Because Gabe Newell, the CEO or founder of Valve, the company that that makes these games.
Yep.
He's not very happy about the state of console or the state of even Windows gaming. So he wants to, you know, make his play. Now that Steam has been out there for such a long time, they have enough of a user base to maybe make that play.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, let's see what else is going on. So I'll give Halo another try. Boot the thing up and let Xbox make its bazillion updates. See how that goes.
Well, yeah, because we just started playing. Well, we played Reach last week, which was the second to last game, Halo game. Because Halo 4 is out now, but Halo Reach was what we were playing like a year or a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And some of the people in our we have a Wednesday night group of people that meet, and a couple of them said that their copies got scratched. Halo 4 copy. So we played, we threw in Reach last week, and it was interesting just the changes that they made to Halo 4 that weren't in Halo Reach. When now we're trying to get used to things. Yeah. All we do is yell and scream and laugh and have a good time. And a lot of times we're just doing custom games, stuff we've like maps we've downloaded off the internet, and we just do like a lot of, you know, like rocket race, just stupid carried away stuff. I mean, it just gets an excuse for us all to get together and just goof off. Yeah.
Okay. I guess if I'm not thinking of it about something to master and just run around, you know, blow myself up.
Yeah,
a lot,
it's just like shooting and blowing stuff up and shooting each other. And,
all right.
You know, personal vendettas.
That would be a good Zen growth moment for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to take things personally. Yeah. Not to be so serious about things. To de-emotionalize any negative emotions that come up with, like, losing.
Yes.
Not to take things so personally.
And if we can do it, we're going to try to get Mike Weinstein playing with us next Wednesday.
Weinstein.
This Wednesday. He came by Saturday. I gave him one of my extra microphones so he can actually hear and talk to us.
That's good.
Playing.
Yeah.
Yes. If we can get him on there, because his wife doesn't like him playing.
Oh. Well, how do you get away with this?
I have a very supportive wife. Who likes to nurture my video games.
I'm watching Sarah's eyebrows just go up and down as you speak.
Yeah, why do you let me play video games, Sarah? Why don't you explain it to the audience?
Why?
Hold on, I'm having some microphone issues here.
Yeah, some technical difficulties.
There you go.
All right.
Well, I let you play video games because I have my own stuff to do while you're playing video games.
Uh-huh.
And it gets you out of my hair. That's exactly why.
And don't you think it's good that couples have some away time, some personal time where they can just sort of break away and do their own thing?
Yeah, it's important for couples to do their own thing. So, yeah, that's part of the reason, too, because I want to do my own thing.
And because she doesn't play video games.
That too.
Well, she kind of does. Like if it's Mario 64, like she's obsessed about Mario 64.
Hmm.
She's obsessed with collecting things. So I've never showed her any of the other like 64 games like Banjo-Kazooie where you have like 150 little things to run around the maps and collect. She likes collecting things. Uh-huh. Like an obsessive thing.
Hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, what else? That's it. It's been a kind of a slow week. It's been, just winter. Winter is happening.
it seems like we lost a Christmas preparation week because Thanksgiving was so late this year. So
yeah,
scrambling to catch up with stuff.
Yeah. We did some shopping the other day, and I got to do some shopping with my mother. But I don't know, just like, ugh.
We've got about like 5 minutes left, so we might as well go through this new segment we've been thinking about.
Yeah.
So earlier we were talking about shifting the direction of this podcast toward, you know, what do we call it? The collective?
Collective.
The idea of the collective was just talking about what people are doing, sharing, I guess, our observations about what's going on, and just having people be seen, you know. So if we know that someone's making something, we should just mention it, just to see what happens.
Yeah,
because if you share what's going on, if you make stuff that's hidden visible, that tends to open up opportunities that are not planned, unexpected, perhaps even delightful.
Yes.
Every time I've taken the time to tell somebody about what I'm doing, sometimes it's come back in interesting ways.
Yeah.
You know, so like I have a list of things here.
Break them down.
Let's see. All right. Starting up, do you have the file open too?
Yes.
All right. I'll start with the first one. Alan Yen, my friend Alan Yen, he was doing a Firefly USB Kickstarter before Fox Legal shut it down. Now, Alan had the license for making
this. It is 100% legally licensed.
Yep.
This is a licensed
but
movie
Fox
product.
Fox Legal Department was not comfortable with the idea of crowdsourcing, so they put the kibosh on that.
Yes.
So he's still selling it on his website. We'll put that in the show notes. But the major campaign will probably start again, I guess, in 2014. More news as events warrant.
Yeah. Yes.
You want to go?
Oh, and our friend Teresa Santosky, who I put her headshot up. We for the open house, I made some new 16x20-inch
It's a beautiful
display
headshot.
Prints. And we got a lot of comments. People that were coming up, that was like the first image that they saw. And there's a lot of people that were just like, that's the girl that writes for the Telegraph. And
that's the girl who writes for the Telegraph.
Yes. And then like immediately they look above and they're like, that's the guy that cooks at Michael Timothy's. And then they're like, that's the community calendar guy. And then they're like, that's Dan Aykroyd. They're just like, I didn't know you photographed all these people. Anyways, Teresa Santosky, she has started writing a regular blog post on her new website that you and I helped populate and get together.
Mm-hmm.
And her new book, Prayers for OPA, is out. And you can get it on Amazon.
That's
and
great.
And she's been doing some book appearances and some signings, so we'll link to her website so that maybe you can go and see her in person.
Yeah. I'm going to mention just a quick couple things I know some of my friends doing that I thought were cool.
Yeah.
Friend Jeff Borkowski, who is a listener, so that makes three?
Yeah,
four. Something like that. he's been experiment. He's been taking the year to...
Change direction.
So, you know, just a shout out to you, Jeff. Good for you. Looking forward to talking to you about that more. We will send you our love.
Yes.
And also my friend Sabina Chen, who's the only other Taiwanese person I know in New Hampshire. I think there's, well, all right. Oh, the music's already started.
Oh, the music's started.
She's been posting pictures of all the soap she's been making.
Really?
And I keep thinking it's chocolate. But it's like every week there's new soap.
Huh.
And I just find it interesting. So I need to find out more about what's going on there.
Huh. What else have we got going on? Ian Ethan, our buddy Ian Ethan, double neck guitarist Ian Ethan. He actually was mentioned on NPR last weekend. On Here and Now. And there's a local, I think it's like a local performance space.
Yeah, somewhere in Hollis.
Yeah. Anyways, the host of that space went on NPR with sort of her list of musicians that you should be listening to. And Ian got some props, and it was nice to see the pictures and the videos that we took and did for him were linked on the NPR website.
Yep.
So that was very cool.
Yep.
And then trying to get more guests on our podcast, the gentleman that took some portraits of me last month or the month before that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Edward, I want to get him on here just so he can talk about his approach to creating images and stuff. Very interesting story because like this is just what he does. Like he just does this. He's like he has a different job. He has a day job, and most of the stuff he's doing it's like with one camera and one lens, like very minimal stuff. It's very good. So we're gonna try to get him on here.
Yep. That's about it for the collective stuff. There's some upcoming events that we know of. The New Hampshire Creative Club has something, a party on the 10th.
Yeah,
the Sea Science Center. It's about making stuff using those 3D printing robots.
Yes.
It's like $15 if you're not a member, so I'm probably not going to go. Then Kelly Muir told me about the Women in Tech Hangout, the inaugural one, on the second Tuesday at Dine HQ up in Manchester. So if you're a woman in technology, you want to talk with your peers or about raising, empowering girls in technology, that's where you want to be. And that's about it.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
What are geek lunches?
Those are just the lunches we have, but I think we're out of time.
We'll talk about those next week.
Yeah, next week. They're every month, every week, so you're not missing anything.
All right, so that's going to do it for this week. Until next week, I am photographer Sid Caesar.
Designer Dave Say.
Say, this is Sarah.
So loud.
Say goodbye. Sarah says goodbye. And we will talk to you next week. Michael, music provided by Michael Bellard. And he has his ensemble at michaelbellard.com. Go to his website and buy his music now.
Bye.
Bye.